You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, the 25th of January, 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, we've actually got some news stories that we can get into today. The first one comes from Britain. Jailed terrorists are not being properly punished for radicalising other inmates, and extremism may be being encouraged in prisons, the terror watchdog has warned. As a result, an inquiry is being launched into how prisons deal with terror convicts. Jonathan Hall QC, the government's independent reviewer of terrorism legislation, said there had been a steady drumbeat of terror attacks on prison officers, and some inmates were coming under the influence of high-status terrorist prisoners. Well, how does this happen? How do these terrorists have access to the prison population, and why is it that the prison population would be susceptible to wishing to become terrorists? Aren't the majority of these terrorists Islamic fundamentalists? And aren't we told that Muslims reject terrorism? You would imagine that if there were any Muslims that were there in prison, that they're pretty bad people. They're involved in violent crimes. That's why they were put in the prison. And apparently, these Islamic terrorists, they think they're doing a religious deed with their terrorism. Bit of confusion here, I think. Jonathan Hall told The Times, "We need scrutiny of how prisons operate to either contain or, worse, encourage terrorism." He added that on entering jail, terrorists automatically achieve a sort of status. Now, this I find really incredible, because I know that white lads that get accused of terrorism, and when they get sent to prison, they have to be put in solitary confinement because they are at risk of being violently attacked by the other prisoners. We heard last year of one of the lads that was accused of being a member of National Action, who was found guilty of being a member of National Action. He was stabbed, and he would have died if his cellmate hadn't notified the authorities that he was bleeding to death on the floor. He didn't do it straight away. I mean, the guy was in a really bad state, and that's because it was known that he was a member of this terrorist group, this white nationalist terrorist group, National Action. That's why he was attacked. And yet what we're hearing here is that people that are accused of terrorism in these jails, they achieve a status. So it seems it must be another group that actually achieve this status. And of course, it's the Islamic extremists that have this status once they go into prison. His comments follow a series of high-profile cases, including the 2019 London bridge attack when Usman Khan, a terrorist prisoner out on licence, stabbed two people to death. And of course, this highlights what a ridiculous thing it is to think that you can rehabilitate these Islamic extremists. They're willing to die for their cause. Do you think threatening them with prison is going to prevent them from carrying out their attacks? They think that they're going to heaven. I mean, you really can't defeat a suicide bomber, can you? Because none of your threats are going to have any effect on him. You can't rehabilitate them. You can't punish them. And it's a situation that we find ourselves in now due to our immigration policies, which have allowed these groups to come into our country and then allowed them to preach their religion here. Of course, not all of their religious preachers will be preaching terrorism, but a certain number of them will. And we know that the group that advocates for the terrorism is the Wahhabi group, and the Wahhabi group is sponsored by Saudi Arabia. And it's Saudi Arabia that pays for all these mosques that are built in Britain. Of course, there aren't any churches in Saudi Arabia. They wouldn't allow us to build churches over there, but we allow them to build mosques in Britain. And a follow-on from that is that a small percentage of these people will carry out terrorist attacks because they believe that is what their religion instructs them to do, the political side of their religion, which is, of course, the side of their religion that Macron is trying to make illegal in France. But Islam is half political and it is half religious. It's all about Sharia law and getting everybody to be under Sharia law. It's not like Christianity, where you are expected to make a personal choice that you want to be a Christian. In Islam, it's just everybody has to obey Sharia law, whether they want to or not. And that's the point of it. And that's the political side of it, is to implement Sharia law everywhere. So whether we like it or not, we now have this problem in our countries of Islamic terrorism. And it came about through our open immigration policies and through this idea that all religions are equal and therefore we should allow Islam to get a foothold on our soil, because it would be against the Muslims' human rights to prevent them from doing that. Well, they're quite able to do that in their own countries. Why they should expect to be able to carry on the same culture they had in their countries in our country, I don't know. I guess it must be a tenet of multiculturalism, which is, of course, what causes all these problems. Kari Sadala, 26, who was given a whole life sentence earlier this month for murdering three men in a terror attack in a Reading park, had been befriended by a radical preacher while serving an earlier prison term. And we're going to hear more about this Kari Sadala later on. But there have been other cases as well. There's been quite a few cases where people have been radicalized while they have actually been in prison. I mean, there are jokes made about how if you want to be radicalized, you go to prison, and then you'll become radicalized and you'll be a terrorist when you leave. It's a serious problem. We have these Muslim gangs that are within the prison, and if you become a Muslim, then you're not going to get bullied by the Muslim prison gang. And from what it's saying here, these actual terrorists, these Islamic terrorists, they have a high status when they're within the prison, and they are effectively recruiting from the Muslim prison population to then go out and carry out these terrorist attacks. Last year, Bruslim Ziamani, who was serving a 19-year sentence for plotting to behead a soldier, was convicted of attempted murder for trying to hack an officer to death in the maximum security Whitemore jail. So even when they're within prison, they are still able to carry out their terrorist acts. Mr. Hall said that he had been amazed at the way terrorist prisoners were looked up to by other inmates. He said, "I find it astonishing that someone should go to prison for plotting a terrorist atrocity. And the concern is not that they themselves are at risk of attack, like a pedophile is often at risk of attack, because prisoners generally say what they have done is terrible. But terrorists automatically achieve a sort of status." As I pointed out, it's only the Islamic terrorists that receive this status. It's not those accused of white terrorism, white people accused of terrorism. They are at risk of being stabbed. What this tells us is that this idea that Islam condemns terrorist acts, it can't be true, can it? If the Muslims that are within prison look up to Muslims that have been jailed for terrorism, then quite clearly Islam does not completely condemn these terrorist acts. We're told that it does, but in reality we see here that that's not the case. So often what we are told by the establishment is not what we see and hear. It's not what we see with our own eyes, and it's not what we hear with our own ears. That's why it's important that we have an alternative media so that we can discuss these things. And of course, they're trying to silence the alternative media, although Priti Patel did speak up over the weekend and say that she wanted to completely overhaul Tony Blair's hate speech laws, and not so that she could add lots of other groups to it and get rid of even more speech and subjects than we can talk about already, but apparently because she sees them as impinging on free speech. So we will have to see whether she has any success with that. I hope she does, obviously, but I'm not holding my breath. A Ministry of Justice spokesman said it had trained more than 29,000 prison officers to better spot signs of extremism, increase the number of special counter-terrorism staff, and would separate the most subversive prisoners where necessary. Our tough measures to stop extremists spreading their poisonous ideologies in prison have been stepped up, the spokesman said. We ended the automatic early release of terrorists, and our new legislation means they will also face tougher sentences and monitoring on release. And of course, that sounds good, doesn't it? We need to prevent these terrorists from getting out. Really, they shouldn't get out at all. They should be sent back to the countries that they come from. They should be sent to fundamentalist Islamic countries, which is where they want to be. They want to be in countries that have Sharia law. So why don't we just send them there? And then our citizens in Britain would be safe. The problem with this is they're not actually differentiating between the acts that these terrorists carry out. Now, we have white men, young white lads that are in prison, and they're in prison because they've been found guilty of membership of the proscribed group National Action. Now, they're not actually in prison for plotting to behead people, plotting to set bombs off, plotting to stab people, or carrying out any violent acts. They're in prison for being members of this group. They were found guilty of being members of this group. Yet, because it's part of the terrorist legislation, it means that they're not going to be able to get out either, which is unfair, isn't it? When you think about it, you've got people that are in prison for actual violent acts that shouldn't be allowed out, and people that are in prison who did not carry out any violent acts and did not make any plans to carry out any violent acts, they are falling foul of this legislation as well. Again, the reason why this happens is because we refuse to differentiate between these groups. We try and say, well, all terrorism is equal. It is not equal. It is not equal at all. When you look at, when you compare a group such as National Action, which didn't actually carry out any violent terror attacks, to a group such as ISIS, which took over Syria and beheaded hundreds, possibly thousands, crucified people, took slaves. I mean, you just really cannot compare the two. So it is unfair that these young white lads are coming under this same legislation. Really, they should differentiate. But of course, if they did differentiate, they would be accused of being Islamophobic. Now, I mentioned earlier this terrorist that was found guilty of stabbing three people last year at the end of a Black Lives Matter rally. Well, relatives of his victims are demanding a meaningful change after it emerged that the killer had racked up 7 convictions for 19 offences without being deported. And he was also a refugee, the same as the Manchester bomber that maimed all those children, killed all those children, was also a refugee. So he's not only has he come to this country and we have been generous to him and said, yes, we'll take you in. We understand that your country is at war. And instead of being grateful for that, he's attacked us. But more than that, he's actually got 7 convictions for 19 other offences and hadn't been deported. If he had been deported, those murders would not have taken place. And of course, we all recall the instances where we have tried to deport people like rapists, and the liberals on the plane, the lefties on the plane, have all refused to allow the plane to actually leave because they discovered that there was this black rapist on there who was being deported back to Africa. Never mind the victim of that horrendous rape, who then had to relive all of that as she saw her rapist being lauded as a hero by these fools on the plane. On top of that, we have all these human rights lawyers that are doing all they can to prevent us from being able to actually deport these criminals. Tiny amount of criminals have actually been deported back to their country because of the human rights law. If there's a chance that it's not going to be as good in their homeland as it is here, they might not get such good medical attention, say, or they might have a death sentence there for the crimes that they've carried out, then we're told we can't actually deport these people. Our priorities should be to look after our own people, not to look after other people. Don't forget, these are peoples from another family. We've allowed them into our country, but they are effectively part of another extended kinship group. They're not a part of our extended kinship group. And if they attack us, they should be sent back to their own people. Again, this would rely upon us making these distinctions, these differential distinctions based upon biology. But it's just common sense. All of this is just common sense, how to deal with this. But because we have this false ideology of multiculturalism and diversity and equality, we don't seem to be able to make any meaningful headway. And we have all these terrorist acts that get carried out, and we have all these confused victims' families that are confused as to why these people haven't been deported. Well, they haven't been deported because we have this false ideology of equality and diversity. Islamic extremist Khairi Sadallah had been a member of the Islamic Ansar al-Sharia terrorist organization in Libya, with his bogus asylum claim being rejected by Britain's Home Office all the way back in 2012. So 8 years later, what was he still doing in our country? The authorities failed to remove him, however, despite his rapid collection of absconding incidents, criminal convictions and prison sentences, culminating in his execution of three men in a public park in a radical Islamic terror attack just days after he had been released early from a sentence for previous terror offences. So he was in jail, we had him in jail, and instead of sending him back to Libya, we allowed him onto the streets where he went out and murdered three innocent white men. And of course, they don't highlight the fact that the victims were all white. But we knew straight away, once we knew that the victims were all white, that this was not a random attack. As we often get told, when it's a white victim, it's a random attack. If all the victims are white, it's not random, is it? There was one thing about the men that he could identify about them, and that was their race. The victims' families say, "We are hopeful for meaningful change and meaningful changes to be implemented so that no other families, no other family or families, no other people, person or persons ever have to experience what the Ritchie, Bennett, Furlong and Wales families have experienced," said Robert Ritchie, ahead of what would have been the birthday of his brother, victim Joseph Ritchie Bennett. "Well, I'm hopeful as well, but I don't think anything will be done about it, because this just happens again and again and again, doesn't it?" I mean, it's rare that we actually hear from the victim's family saying this, "We need to have change and these people need to be deported." We're usually told that they say, "Well, it's not all Muslims and we would not want this to become fuel for the far right, God forbid." I mean, they will say that our opinion here is the far right opinion, but it's not. It's the average opinion. Most people in Britain don't understand why we have Muslims here in the first place, let alone why we continue to have Muslims here when a proportion of them carry out terrorism. It's like realizing that one of the products that you have on the supermarket shelves has been contaminated, and 1% of the products has actually got cyanide in it. And instead of removing all the products from the shelves, We just leave them out there and say, oh, well, it's okay. It's only one or two people that will eat the cyanide ones and die. That's the logic that our governments are using when they continue to allow Islamic immigration into Britain. I mean, even if they just stopped the immigration and said, well, we're not going to allow any more to come into this country, that would be a help. But they won't. Donald Trump tried to do that. And look at the way that the courts reacted. And it would be the same here in Britain. Just look at the way that the British authorities condemned Trump for saying that. This terrorist just decided he had the right to cut short all of Joe's hopes and dreams, all of James's hopes and dreams, all of David's hopes and dreams, and the hopes and dreams that the Ritchie family, the Bennett family, the Furlong family, and the Wales family had for Joe, James, and David, said Mr. Ritchie, whose brother had been planning to scale Mount Kilimanjaro for his upcoming 40th, taking the coronavirus pandemic in his stride. Joseph Ritchie Bennett's family, like the family of fellow victim James Furlong and most members of the public, are bewildered that Sadala was still in the country at all and not even being held in detention until his deportation could be arranged. On the facts of this case, there are now serious questions that need answering, most notably how the killer was ever in a position to commit these horrific acts, said Mr. Furlong's father, Gary Furlong. Well, it's the same as with the Manchester bombing, isn't it? The public are saying, well, how come he was here in the first place? How come we had this Libyan terrorist here who had made it clear his views about the British people, and we had him here and he carried out this terrorist act? Why wasn't he deported? It's the same thing again and again and again, not just in Britain, but all over Europe. Seeking asylum here in 2012, he has obtained a litany of criminal convictions, including assaults on the public, police and emergency services, along with carrying a bladed weapon, he pointed out. Whilst in prison, it was decided by the Secretary of State on June 4, 2020, just 2 weeks prior to the attack, that his deportation was in the public interest, but for legal reasons, it could not happen. Of course, legal reasons would have been human rights. It seems to be that it's these terrorists' human right to have victims placed before them that they can attack. And we don't seem to have the human right not to be living among people that have an ideology that encourages them to terrorist acts. Everything is the opposite way around to the way that it should really be. He said, I've got to be really realistic. And you look at this person and you've got to say, how was he ever allowed to stay in this country? How was he allowed into this country in the first place? He demanded. Well, I can answer him, because if he hadn't been allowed into the country, he would have been screaming racist and Islamophobe at the people that were telling him he couldn't come into the country. And we know that those words are probably the most powerful words in the English language, because it's those words are the reason why all those white girls were raped by the grooming gangs, because the police were frightened of being called racist and Islamophobe for investigating them. And this is the same reason why this guy was allowed into our country, is because we don't want to be accused of all these nasty names. And what do the nasty names mean? It just means that we're putting our people first, which is what we should be doing. The Secretary of State needs to tell us why this guy wasn't put into some sort of detention centre before they could deport him. He was not safe to be put back on the streets. And sadly, this won't be the last time that we hear about this. I can guarantee you that. This will not be the last time that we hear about this. There was that other attack last year in Scotland, wasn't there, around this time, around the times of the Black Lives Matter protests. And it was asylum seekers, fake asylum seekers as well, because they came here from France and there's no war in France. Asylum seekers had been put in a hotel in Scotland and they were not very happy with the food. So one of them stabbed a load of people up. And when they had his funeral, there were masses of people there. Masses of Muslims that were there that all turned up for the guy's funeral. And that happened within weeks of this happening. Same thing. Refugee carrying out this attack, and only here what we've also have is that he was radicalized within our prisons. Obviously, because the other Muslims in the prison were looking up to the guy that radicalized him. He was probably also given protection by that as well. If these Muslims, or if these people become Muslims when they're in prison and they work with the extremists and they agree to carry out some extremist attack once they have left the prison, they will be treated with privileges whilst they are in the prison by the other Muslims, because they will be looked at as a future martyr, a martyr for the cause, somebody who is going to blow themselves up and kill the kafir. I mean, it's incredible that they would change the meaning of the word martyr to meaning that. Martyr is a Christian word. It was the Christians that were put to death in hideous ways, tortured to death in the first and the second century because they refused to recant their faith. And it was actually because of these acts that Christianity took hold, because people said, well, these guys had to be telling the truth, otherwise they would not be happy to just be put to death, to just be tortured to death. So a martyr is an incredibly brave, pious person who was put to death for their faith, and yet these Muslims call these terrorists martyrs. Again, it's a horrific inversion of a word in the English language. Despite tough talk on deportation from Home Secretary Priti Patel, the already low number of removals actually plummeted by 79% in 2020, while mass legal immigration and illegal immigration have both risen dramatically during her and Boris Johnson's tenure. Apparently Boris Johnson has just given citizenship to 3.5 million Hong Kongese, or given them the ability to move to Britain as well. Anyone that thinks the Conservatives are against immigration really needs their eyes testing. So the main points to take from this are that Muslim terrorists in prison are looked up to and given status, which implies that the Muslims within the prison approve of the terrorism. So this idea that Islam doesn't approve of terrorism, we can see, is not entirely true. And the second point to get from this is that these quote-unquote refugees that we allow into our country, a percentage of them hate us. Even after we have carried out the incredibly generous and charitable act and allowed them to come into our country and fed them and clothed them and housed them, they will repay us by murdering us, because it is a part of their twisted interpretation of Islam. And the only way that you can really protect yourself from this is to not allow these fake refugees to come into our country and to not allow Islam to take hold in a Christian country. We're now living with the consequences of allowing Islam to get a foothold in our country and the consequences of allowing all these different peoples to come in. This is multiculturalism. This is what it does. This is what it does to us. It's not a strength. It's a threat. It's a deadly threat to white people. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.